Good morning, everybody. Last week, we were in Mark chapter 1. We did verses 2 to 13. We talked about John the Baptist, right? This crazy guy who wore camel and was very hairy, had camel skin, had a belt, ate locusts and honey. All right, he was the forerunner of Jesus. Okay, he knew his mission and he embraced his role. Right? He was not about glory for himself, even though he became popular and people followed him and he had quite the following. He made him uncomfortable, right? Because it was about Jesus Christ, the one whom he was not even worthy to untie his sandal. Right? And he was out in the wilderness, and we talked about how the wilderness is a place of testing, right? And deliverance. And you see God's grace whenever his people are in the wilderness, whenever we are in the wilderness, i.e., when we're going through trials, right? That time of testing, we see his grace, we see God's deliverance. And so there are times when God calls us out of our comfort zone, calls out of what is familiar, right? And he uses those for our good and for his glory, right? And ultimately, John the Baptist's message was about Jesus, right? And then we looked at the baptism of Jesus, right? And how the baptism, right? He fulfilled righteousness. And we talked about how God had raised up John the Baptist for a specific mission. That was to baptize people. And so Jesus perfectly obeyed God in being baptized by John. So he fulfilled righteousness. But then it was also used to authenticate his ministry. Right? The Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. God speaks, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Right? You see the Trinity there. And so it validates or authenticates Jesus' ministry. And then immediately, Jesus is pushed out, right, into the wilderness for testing. And again, another way to show his power, to show his authority, right, to authenticate his ministry. And he was ministered to. And so even in our trials and in our times of suffering, right, God ministers to us. Oftentimes in ways that we don't see, we don't recognize in the moment until after the fact. We're like, I just got ministered to, right? And so those are ways that we work and how God works, in our lives and in and through our times of trial and suffering. And so the application was, right, that we have a Savior, we have a great high priest who can relate to us, right? Hebrews 4. Right? And then God uses the uncomfortable. God uses the unfamiliar. So we shouldn't be so quick to fight against that, but to realize that God has allowed that to happen for some reason. It's for our good, and it's for his glory. And then, like John the Baptist, who really wasn't concerned about the cares and comforts of the world, right? If you're living out in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey, wearing animals and blood belt, you don't really give a rip about the things of the world. And we should have that same kind of attitude. Like, don't get so hung up in, like, getting trapped by the things of this world. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. So that was last week. This week, all right, we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. We'll be in verses 14 through 20. Okay, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about kingdom. Okay, so just prepare yourself. We're going to talk a lot about kingdom. But let me read our text for us this morning, and then we will pray, and then we'll dig into God's word. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather here. Lord, the freedom that we have to gather here corporately to worship you, Lord, to sing praises to you, to pray to you, Lord, and to hear your words. Lord, it's my prayer that we would hear your words. Lord, that we would hear what your word has to say, not my words, Lord, but what your word has to say. Lord, that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged. You would challenge us where we need to be challenged. You would convict us where we need to be convicted. Lord, however your spirit chooses to work and move, Lord, do that work here this morning in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, so that we will walk out of here knowing you better. But we will walk out of here loving you more. And I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So, two sections. We're going to look at verses 14 and 15. Then we're going to look at verses 16 to 20. All right? And verses 14 to 15. Okay, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Okay, he's been baptized. Right? He's been tempted. All right, and then Mark, again, right, it's quick, right, immediately this, immediately that. You don't have time to, like, linger and celebrate things, so that he just keeps moving through his account. And we read of Jesus' first recorded account, the first thing Jesus did, right? And really, like, it's nothing spectacular in and of itself, right? Like, what's he do? Like, he comes into Galilee, right? Okay. I came into Damascata, right? There's nothing spectacular here, but don't miss, right? The words that he speaks are unbelievably spectacular, unbelievably astonishing, okay? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, right? You go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 1, right? How does Mark start his whole account, right? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So there's this proclamation that goes out that's going to radically change the world. Right? And he's putting the world on notice. But he doesn't do any of this, right, until after John's arrested. Right? Then he starts his public ministry. Right? So it's kind of like, kind of weird, right? If you're John, right? You know Jesus, you know who Jesus is, and you're like, okay, do your thing. But he doesn't really start doing his thing until John's in prison, right? So that's what happens, and that's when Jesus starts. And so John is handed over to, right? Or he's arrested, right? And lest we forget, right? Isn't not God sovereign over that, right? And when you read Mark, one thing that stands out in the way that he writes this is that God's sovereignty is always kind of lurking, like, in his words, right? So when he talks about John being arrested, God allows it, okay? When Jesus' words in chapter 9, verse 31, and chapter 10, verse 33, okay, eight times in verses 14 to 15, Jesus talks about being handed over to, that he's going to be arrested, okay? Lurking all behind that is God is allowing this to happen, right? And then we get to, right, chapter 13, verses 9 and 11 and 12, and Jesus is talking about, right, how believers will be turned over and will be handed over to the authorities, and lurking behind all of that is God's sovereignty. So God is allowing these things to happen. He's allowing it. It doesn't catch him off guard. It's not like, well, now what do I do? John's been arrested. Right? He knows. Right? He's got this plan. And so we know that, like, so if those things are happening, God's behind all of that. Like, we know that in our lives, right, that God is working and doing some pretty amazing things. Right, he's allowing things into our life. Right, doesn't catch him off guard. Right, he's allowing the forerunner of Jesus Christ himself, the Messiah, to be arrested and handed over. Right, and we'll read in a few weeks how he's martyred, he's killed for his faith. John is, right. So God allows also. Don't miss that piece. It's so easy to kind of gloss over that, but don't miss, right, God's sovereignty and all of this. And then we get to this fun little town, right? Jesus came into Galilee, okay? And Galilee is this small, kind of insignificant, right? It's like this region of Jewish settlers, right? And so if you're back in Jesus' day, right, and you were there when Jesus was baptized, and you're like, man, the Spirit came down like a dove, and we heard like a voice, and like, you're like, man alive, this is the guy, right? And then you're like, and he's in Galilee? No, you got to be in Jerusalem. right? Or he should be really probably in Rome, because he's coming to, like, he's going to free us. Like, what? But he spends his time in Galilee. Okay, you would expect this, like, popular city, this very influential city, but no, Jesus is spending time in this little kind of out-of-the-way region where there's Jewish settlers, right? And so it make you pause and ask questions, like, well, what's he doing? What is he doing? Well, go to Micah 5:2. Right? What does Micah 5:2 say? But you, O Bethlehem, right, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, right, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Right? God doesn't work, right, in our economy, so to speak. Like, he doesn't work in ways that we would expect him to work. Right? Because it's not about the kingdom that the Israelites, the Jewish people, were expecting. It's completely different. Right? And the reality is that some of Jesus' most fruitful ministry occurred in this region of Galilee. Right? So people heard him and responded to him. But it's not what we would expect. Right? It's not at all what we would expect. But he's here. He's in this town. John's been arrested. He's in Galilee, and he's proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, right, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay? What he is saying, okay? What he is saying is his, hey, you want to know what? Right? He's saying that, like, the kingdom of God is at hand, right? Repent and believe the gospel, right? But he's saying as well, he's like, I am the kingdom of God and I am the gospel. Mm-hmm. Right? So he's proclaiming, but he's also saying, and by the way, it's me. Right? It's me. Right? You go to Luke chapter 4, right? When he's in the temple, right? And he stands up and he reads the scroll from Isaiah, a portion of the scroll from Isaiah. Right? And he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Right? And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. And what's he say? Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It's about me. Right? He does the same thing. Mark 4 is the same idea. He comes in and says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Absolutely. But I am the kingdom of God and I am the gospel. Right? Don't miss that. Like, he's drawing attention to his life and what God has called him to be and who he is. It's confirming who he is. Right? So this time has been fulfilled, right? And don't necessarily think about like a clock or a calendar, right? Don't think about that, but think about it's this fixed point in history. At the right time, God sent his son. Right? At the right time. Right? So this fixed point in history. It's this turning point in salvation. What they have known, what the Israeli people and the Jewish people have known, is going to be completely turned upside down and inside out. It's completely different. Right? It's completely different. This kingdom of God is at hand. And again, and if you're hearing him say these words, if you're in Galilee, you're hearing him say these words, you're looking for some guy riding in on a big white horse, right, ready to take names. But that's not what he does, right? That's not what he does. And so there's going to be confusion, and we'll read about this the confusion, right, and understanding who Jesus truly is. But, like, this is at, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. So we can't be thinking of this kingdom as this, like, kingdom, right, with a man ruling, sitting on a throne, taking care of Rome, taking care of the oppression, taking care of the taxes. We can't think of it that way. We have to think of it as a spiritual kingdom, a millennial kingdom, an eternal kingdom, right? Because the kingdom, right, in this sense, right, it's invisible, right? Yeah, you've got Jesus, right? But how his kingdom is going to work and move at this point, it's going to be invisible in the sense it's going to happen in the hearts of people, the hearts of those who believe. So this kingdom advances, okay, one soul at a time, right? As people believe, this kingdom expands. The kingdom gets bigger. Colossians 1:13, right? You transfer from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. That's a heart issue. That's an internal thing in each and every one of us, right? As we are saved, as God saves us, right? We believe the gospel. It's a spirit. Our hearts are transformed, a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And so it's a spiritual kingdom. It's invisible, okay? But it's millennial, right? Because Jesus is going to come back and he's going to rule for 1,000 years, right? It's visible, but it's 1,000 years. So it's temporary, right? There's a set time, right? That's Revelation chapter 20, right? But Jesus is going to sit, he's going to reign, right? He's going to have rule over the entire world, right? Promises are going to be fulfilled during that millennial reign, but it's a temporary situation. But then it's going to become eternal, right? When there's the new heaven and the new earth, right? And God will reign for all of eternity. That's Revelation 22. God will reign for all of eternity. So we have to think, right? Spiritual, millennial, eternal. Right? So right now, for us, it's spiritual, right? It's the rule and reign and dominion of God in the hearts of his people. Right? And it's one soul at a time, one person at a time who comes to believe, and the kingdom expands and advances, right, until he comes back, right, to rule and to reign for those 1,000 years. So we have to, right, as individuals and others, we have to have a kingdom mentality. A kingdom mentality, not a TVC mentality, right? A kingdom mentality. We are a small little piece of what God is doing, right? And we're going to, by God's grace, we will grow and expand, and the kingdom will grow because of our faithfulness to the gospel and preaching and proclaiming Christ. Right? But we're just one, but it's so much bigger than we are. So much bigger. Okay, I said from the very beginning when this was whole church plan idea came up and God was calling us to this, right? I would talk to people and say, I don't want to shuffle sheep. Like, I'm not interested in that. Okay, meaning I don't want disgruntled people or people that just are angry at other churches or whatever it would be to come here and to land here and to be here. Right? I want there to be people coming to faith in Christ, being gripped by the gospel, coming here, right? That's because that's kingdom growth, right? One soul at a time. But, right, God calls people here, right? God will draw people here to be on mission for this, for his kingdom. And so this kingdom first mentality that we have to have is understanding that God is active, that he is sovereign, that he's ruling and reigning, right? And it's about Christ, and it's about the gospel. So what does the world look like? What does Damariscotta, what does Newcastle look like, right, when Jesus, quote unquote, gets his way? Mm-hmm. That's kingdom mentality, right? Like, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, right? This is this kingdom mentality, right? We have to think bigger than ourselves, right? This kingdom, right? It's small, right? But man, it's so powerful, right? It's so powerful. There's 40 some of us sitting in this room, right? That's small, right? But if we're on mission for God, right? If we're out proclaiming the gospel, engaging the community, engaging people, right? We're being faithful in those things. It's not going to be stopped.
That's right.
Right? Even if, and even when, right? Trials come, suffering comes, right? So we need to be humble and recognizing, like, we're really not that big of a deal here. There's 40-ish of us here. But man, if we're about the kingdom of God, that is a really, really big deal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right? Doesn't Paul say that God uses the foolish things, the weak things, the low and despised? Right? That's what God does. Jesus doesn't go to Jerusalem or Rome. He goes to Galilee. Right? He's not born in Jerusalem. He's born in Bethlehem. Right? That's what God does. So number two, like the kingdom of God, right? If we're not invested in the kingdom, right, then we're really not in, like, actively, we're not living that kingdom mindset. It's almost like we desert it, dare I say it, right? If we're not living that way, right, we've almost defected, we've almost deserted that, right? So we have to have that mentality, like, it has to be about God, it has to be about Christ and the gospel. We have to be invested in that kingdom. It made me think of Mark, right, who deserted Paul, right? We looked at that a couple weeks ago. Right? And we need to understand too that, like, the grace that we get here, and we've been blessed, and there is so much grace that God has lavished upon us individually and as a church, right? That grace just gets multiplied out, right? As we're faithful in serving, right? So it goes beyond us, right? It goes to maybe our families, but it goes to our neighbors. It goes to these towns, like it could go generational, right? Just us being faithful in the here and now for the kingdom, right? There's this ripple effect and this multiplication that will take place. Right? And like status, like, is irrelevant, right? It doesn't matter who we are, who we think that we are, who the world thinks we are. It doesn't matter. Who are you in Christ? That's what matters. Right, that's the only status that matters. Right? We need to see people the way God sees them. Right? We need to see them the way God sees them. Status doesn't matter at all. Right? And this influence, right? This transformational power, God's work, the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts and in our lives, right, is unstoppable. It's unstoppable, right? So it has to be, like, we have to think, right, gospel, we have to think just kingdom, this kingdom first kind of mentality, right? Kingdom first, right? And it starts with our own lives, right? It's a very personal thing, right? Where are you with God? How is your relationship with God, right? It's got to transform you. Right? Your life has to be gripped and transformed by the gospel, right? And then it starts, and then just, like, it bleeds out, right? And it transforms families, it transforms communities, it transforms towns, it transforms regions, right? We are in the least churched, right, part of the country, New England, right? 4%, 3 to 4%, depending on where you read evangelical. It is a dark place. But if we are faithful to the kingdom of God and have that mentality, right, transformation will happen. It starts with each and every one of us individually being gripped by the gospel. Amen. Right. So what does this mindset? So what does success look like? Here's what success looks like. If we have this kingdom first mentality. Right, and we're going to live like this, right? Here's what success is. Success is new believers, mm-hmm. Right? Is that not success, right? If the kingdom's going to grow one soul at a time, right? So, like, success means we're going to have new believers, right? And so there's that 1%, right, that we've talked about for this year, like going after just one person, right? Praying about one person, right, who doesn't know Christ, you can share the gospel with them, And by God's grace, he will save them. They will be gripped by the gospel, right? And that's kingdom growth, right? Kingdom growth. It means we're going to make new disciples, right? They're going to come in, right? And we're going to disciple them. We're going to invest in their lives. Right? It means we're going to multiply. Okay, it means we're going to, and what I mean by multiply, I don't mean like we're going to get bigger, all right? I mean that we're going to be very strategic in how we think through church, right? And if we identify an area that there's really a gospel void, okay, then we're going to pray about and seek ways that we can meet that need, right? And we're going to multiply. If it means we put a gospel growth community in that area, spectacular. And if that gospel growth community takes off, right, and that becomes a church 5 years from now, praise God, right? That's multiplication. We need to think strategically, right? And ultimately, like, the community is going to be transformed, right? But because we're being faithful to this bigger picture about the kingdom of God, right? And so we have to steward all of this, right? We have to steward all of this, and so we have to just be constantly watching what we're doing, thinking through what we're doing, evaluate what we're doing, right? What's really going on in our town, in our community, in our church, in people's lives here? How do we speak into that, love each other, encourage one another? How do we get out? And we need to steward all of that. We can only do that by God's grace, right? And it takes all of us to do that, right? Because guess what? I am blind and ignorant at times. I will miss things, guaranteed, right? The Good Friday service, for example, right? I just gone, right? So we need each other. We need one another to do this. And so let's talk about this 1% for a minute, okay? And I want to give you an acronym, okay? It's BLESS, B-L-E-S-S, okay? And I give this to you, like I hesitate to give this to you, but I'm going to give this to you, right? Because there's some of you out there that are process people. All right, you're going to say, okay, I need to first do B, then do L, then do E, then do S, then do S. Okay, maybe. Okay, but what I want you to see and hear is here are five things, okay, that we need to do. This will help us, right, with that 1%. Okay, good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here, you have to do B first. Okay, then the less can be jumbled, okay? But you have to do B first. B stands for begin with prayer. Okay, so you have to be, and I've encouraged you, right, to be praying for that person, right? That God would bring a person to mind, that God would bring a person into your life, right, that you could start having conversations with, all right? Roseanne prayed for hers. I've got mine, right? It's not who I thought it was going to be, but I've got mine. Right? Mine's a challenge because this person is not on Facebook, so I can't like creep stalk them to get information. Which means I actually gotta like talk to them first. That's weird. Right? Just being honest, that's really weird. Okay? But like be praying for that one person. Pray for them. Right? Just pray like, okay, Lord, what's this look like? How can I bless this person? You've got to make our paths cross. Right, so like pray. So begin with prayer. L, need to listen. Okay, like slow to speak, quick to listen. Okay, listen to their struggles, listen to the pain, listen to the challenge that they're going through. Just listen to what they have to say. Right, so as you engage them. Right, to be quick to just listen and to get to know them and understand who they are. E, okay, you're gonna love E. All right, E is eat. All right, and what I mean by this is like, you know what? Getting a cup of coffee with somebody is really, really super important. It's a cup of coffee, right? But making that, taking somebody out to lunch. Like whatever it is, like that, like over meals, like eating together, right, breaks down some of those barriers and some of those hindrances that we all have, right? So eating, right, coffee, lunch, right? That helps build relationships. The first S is serve, right? So as you're listening, right, as you're spending time getting to know the person, right, you got to be like, okay, I understand them. I hear where they're hurting. I see the pain. I hear where they're like, God's, you know, they don't know that God's working in their life, but God's working in their life here. That's good. Like, and so you get to know the person, right? You share a meal with them. Okay, then you're like, okay, how can I serve them? What can I do to start building another to widen the bridge? Right? How can I bless them? How can I be a blessing to that person? How can I love them? How can I see them the way God sees them and love them? Okay, their life may be absolutely all together, right? They may not have a care in the world. Right, so how do I love and serve that person? Or maybe they're in absolute shambles, right? How do I love and serve that person, right? How do I serve, right? And the last S, right, is story. And that's like you share your story. You share the gospel with them, that gospel story with them, right? And that, like, again, like, so don't think I've got to work my way through that process, like, in order. Begin with prayer, but you know what? Sometimes you're going to listen, and you may realize that you want to know what? Man, I think I've got one shot here with this person at this point. So I'm not going to invite him to eat. I'm not going to serve him. I need to get to the gospel. I need to get to my story, right? So that you see how that works, right? You just boom, you bump up, right? That so like don't get hung up on the order, get hung up on the parts. Okay, so bless, begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, right? Share your story. That's a kingdom, right? That's a kingdom mentality here, because kingdom growth is one soul at a time. As people come to know Christ, right? That's the kingdom growing. It's a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus tells these people at the end of verse 15, right? They're imperatives, they're commands, right? Repent. And believe, right? Repent, turn from your sin and believe, turn to the gospel, right? Repent and believe, right? So guess what? What's Jesus saying? You got to make a decision, right? Isn't that like implied in that? Like repent and believe? Like, well, if you don't repent and believe like that, you've made a decision. Mm-hmm. He's going to like repent and believe. Right, so he's calling for a decision. Turn from your sin. Turn to the gospel. Turn to me. Turn to the kingdom of God. Repent and believe. Right? And is that not, right, that repenting piece isn't just a one-time deal. Right? All of life, right, that right, is just as God reveals sin, right, you confess the sin, you repent of that sin, you turn, right, from that sin. Right, and you grow, right? You have your high times of growth and your times of not growing, backsliding, then you grow, like this way of life, right? This constant idea of just repenting, right? You're confessing and repenting of our sin. But that's kingdom. This is what God, this is what Jesus is saying, like, I am the kingdom, I am the gospel. Turn from your sin, believe in me. Right? It's a kingdom issue. I am the kingdom. We need to live, right? We need to personally, individually live that way. We need, as a church, need to live that way. Verses 16 to 20, okay? Jesus calls his first disciples, right? Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Okay, and the perception is a lot of times that like they were just fishermen, right? Oh, they were fishermen. Okay, and listen, granted, like that wasn't really like high on the social scale, right? It wasn't. They were fishermen. Okay, but all right, that's a thriving industry. Right, back in that day, and it can be here too, right? But back in that day, that's a thriving industry because fish was a staple food. All right, and fish from the Sea of Galilee were kind of like prized. Maybe think of like lobster, honestly, right? Like people pay a lot of money for lobster, right? And so that kind of idea, like they wanted it. So like the fish from the Sea of Galilee, they were exported, right? In that region, right? They believe sometimes as far down as like into Egypt, right? But like, so the fish from the Sea of Galilee, so these men, they were fishermen, right? But they were not like slouches, right? They knew their business. And it was a family business passed down from generation to generation to generation. And so if that's the case, then they're successful at what they do, right? So they knew their trade and they were good at it, right? They were fishermen, right? And we know how they were looked at, right? Acts 4:13, right? Peter and John are before the rulers and the elders and the scribes, right? And they're like, these are common men, but it seems like they've been with Jesus, right? So we know kind of like how the world saw them, how the religious leaders saw them. Okay, they're fishermen, but those fishermen, right? God used them to change the world, right? So we're good. We've got to keep moving. I don't want to get hung up, all right? But he calls them, right? And immediately, right? Immediately, they leave their nets and they follow him, right? Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately, they left their nets and they followed him, okay? They left what they knew. They left what they were good at. They left what they were successful at doing. Immediately, Mark says, and they followed Jesus. Right, Jesus goes on a little bit further in verse 19. He sees James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Okay, and they were in their boat mending nets. Right, and immediately, right, Jesus calls to them. Right, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Right, like I read that and think, man, there wasn't like to say, hey, good luck, Dad, we're out of here. Right, that was it. Like, there wasn't like a, hey, well, why don't you stop by the house first and say goodbye to your mom? Like, nope, we're out of here. Phew, gone. Right, they left what they knew. Right, they left what was known to them, what they were good at. They could not resist, right, the call from God. Couldn't resist it. Right, they were willing to leave all that they knew to follow him. And so here's the thing, right? Here's three things in that section, right? Number one, right? Understand, recognize, right? That the subject of the call is Jesus, right? It's a kingdom thing, right? It's the gospel, right? That's the subject of the call, right? And again, like they were fishermen, okay? So probably, right? Didn't have an exhaustive knowledge of the Torah, right? They probably didn't pass the theology exam that other people may have passed, right? They knew their job. They knew how to do what they've been given to do in fishing for generation for generation. They didn't have any qualification, but then when Jesus called them, they couldn't resist the call. So they needed to learn. So they're humble because they're gonna learn an awful lot, and we'll see that. Right? We'll see times when they get it and when times that they don't get it. Right? It's a process. Right? And so there's this faith that they had with just this, hey, follow me, okay. And they follow him. Right? So there's risk. Right? Because I don't, what are you calling us to? I don't know what you're calling us to, but I know this, but you're calling me to this, so I just got to go. Right? So there's risk involved here. And right? And like, you really, right? You only can know Jesus, right? If you're following him. Right? So they couldn't stick back and say, well, hey, we'll just hang out here. When you happen to pass through, we'll chat. They're not going to really get to know Jesus in that way. They need to follow him. It's the same thing with us, right? To truly know Jesus, we have to follow him, right? So like our entire lives have to be gripped by Jesus, have to be gripped by the gospel. Number two, right? It was a call to service, and we'll see this, right? It was a call to serve. It was a completely different than what they knew. It was a slow and sometimes very painful process, right? And we'll read that. We'll read the pain, right? And you'll kind of be like, how could they miss that, right? But they do. It's a slow process, right? But it's a change in perspective, is it not? It's this kingdom first kind of perspective. It's not about it's fishing, right? It's about following Jesus. He's going to make us fishers of men. Okay, but I know fishing. I don't know what that means, but like I'm going to follow. But it's a completely different change from what they knew, right? Completely different change. Right, it's this kingdom first mentality. Like they're going to be servants. It's going to cost them. Right? They made good money fishing. Right? They made good money fishing. Right? Not going to make a whole lot of good money. Right? Walking with Jesus for 3 years. But it's not about the money. Right? It's not about the money. Right? There's this separation. Right? Right? What did John? Right, James and John do. After they were called, they got up and they left their father in the boat. And it cost them. Right, I'm not going to see my dad for I don't know how long. But like, okay, and they go. Right, there's a cost that's involved with this service. So anything that hinders the call, right, are we willing to give that up for following Jesus? Are we? Are we willing to give that up? Right, number three, right? There's this importance of fellowship, and there's this importance of community. Right? Jesus calls four men right here. Right? Four men to follow him. Right? So they're gonna spend time together, a lot of time together. Right? So there's a sense of they're being called into fellowship, into community with Jesus, with God himself, with the kingdom of God, and with one another. Right? You know they had conversations. We'll read some of the conversations they had amongst themselves. Right? So there's this idea of like community, right? And being involved with one another and fellowship with one another. So Jesus authoritatively, right? He calls them to himself. He calls them to follow him. He's going to train them. He's going to equip them, right? Because they're following him. They're going to get to know him because they're following him. They're going to live in community with one another. They're going to understand what fellowship means, right? With both Jesus and with one another. That's what happens in that first call, and it's the same thing for us, right? Jesus authoritatively called me to himself. But that's just the beginning, right? And I need to now work on, right, sanctification, dealing with my sin, right? He's gonna train me, he's gonna equip me, he's going to discipline me, he's going to encourage me, right, to have this kingdom first kind of mentality, to see people the way he sees people, right? And to live in fellowship and community with him and with one another. That's what God does. Right, so what does this mean for all of us? Right, what does this mean personally as a church? All right, I think we've already talked about these, so I'm not going to linger too long on these, right? But we have to fight for this kingdom first mentality, this kingdom focus, right? And I need to fight for that, right? We need to fight for that because that does not come naturally, okay? Because we are selfish, right? We're selfish, sinful people, and we don't always think of the kingdom first. We think of our own comfort, our own ease. We need to be thinking differently, all right? So we need to fight for that mentality, that kingdom mentality, right? It's not about TVC, right? And success at TVC doesn't mean we're going to have 500 people 3 years from now, right? Success at TVC can be, you want to know what? We have 40 people 5 years from now, but we've planted two churches, praise God, right? That's like success is different. So we need to fight for that, right? We need to begin with prayer, right? Begin with prayer for you, for the 1%, okay? But begin with prayer. Ask God to help you, right? Help you in your walk. That kingdom first mentality. Show me my sin so I can confess it. I can repent of my sin, sanctify. Like all those things need to happen. Begin with prayer. And number three, right? Jesus has called us. Right? Jesus has called us into kingdom service. That's what he's called us to do. Right? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. God has, through his Son, invited us to be involved in his kingdom, and one soul at a time, by his grace, right, expand the kingdom and grow the kingdom, right? So we need to be faithful in that, but we need to remember that we need one another to do that, right? We need one another. We need to be encouraging each other, praying for one another, right? All those things, right? You can't do this as a silo, right? You need other people with you to help you and to pray with you and to encourage you and to disciple you and to invest in you. And you want to know what? When you do those things, you get blessed back. Right? It's always two ways, right? You get ministered to in ways that you don't understand until maybe like 2 hours later. You realize I just got ministered to, right? It's what God does. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to be here. Lord, it's my prayer, Lord, that we would have this kingdom mentality, this kingdom first mentality. Lord, that it would not be about myself. It would not be about this church. Lord, that it would be about your kingdom. Lord, as we faithfully follow you, Lord, that you would use us, Lord, you would be gracious to us and merciful to us and would use us to advance your kingdom, to expand your kingdom one person at a time, one soul at a time. Lord, so help us to fight for that. Lord, I pray for this 1%, Lord, that you would bring people into our minds and our hearts if you haven't done so already. Lord, but we know that it's not just about you bringing those people to mind. We have to be faithful in responding to that, Lord. So help us be faithful and to respond, Lord, and look for ways to connect and to engage with people, right, for the gospel, what is for your kingdom. I pray this in your name. Amen.